You know, when you watch a magic show, there's always that one moment of just pure suspension of disbelief, right?
For sure.
Like the magician pulls a rabbit out of the hat, or they make a coin vanish into thin air. And for those few fleeting seconds, you aren't thinking about trapdoors.
Right, or the sleight of hand or any of the mechanics.
Exactly. You are just marveling at the impossible. And I mean, for the last few years, the entire tech industry has basically been living in that exact moment with artificial intelligence.
Yeah, that's a really good way to put it.
You see a chatbot write a functioning web app in, what, 3 seconds? Or it drafts a complex legal contracting. We just stare at the magic trick.
We really do. But, eventually the show ends,
Right.
the house lights come up, and somebody actually has to pay the magician, maintain the theater, and figure out who is legally liable if that rabbit jumps off the stage and bites an audience member.
Which is such a wild visual, but honestly, so accurate. And that is exactly our mission for today. We are looking at a single, incredibly dense source document today.
Yeah, it's quite the read.
It really is. It's
Oh.
by an engineering leadership analyst, and it's titled The Agent Era Gets an Invoice.
Which is just a brilliant title, by the way.
It really is. And the premise is fascinating. The author points out that in exactly 1 2-week window, back in June 2026, four massive tech events just collided.
Right, all at once.
We had Microsoft's Developer Conference Build. We had Apple's Worldwide Developers Conference, WWDC. We had the confidential SEC financial filings from both OpenAI and Anthropic. And on top of all that, the release of Anthropic's new Claude Fable 5 model.
Yeah, and on the surface, if you're just reading the tech blogs, these look like four entirely separate news cycles, right?
Definitely. A product launch here, some financial disclosure over
But
there.
if you look at the underlying architecture of what was actually announced, it's really one single cohesive story.
Okay, let's unpack this. Because the author makes a very bold claim right out of the gate.
They do. Basically, the software agent has officially become the interface. But with that autonomy comes a massive invoice.
Right. And by the end of this deep dive, you're going to understand exactly why your company's operating assumptions around AI,
Right.
well, they need to change immediately.
Immediately, because the AI era is no longer being limited by raw intelligence.
Yeah, it's not about who has the highest benchmark score on some standardized math test anymore.
Exactly. AI is now limited by authority, by cost, and by trust.
So to really understand why, we need to look at where these agents are actually going to live and work, right?
Okay.
So let's start with Microsoft.
Good place to start.
At Build, they essentially made the agent the new runtime. But what does it actually mean to make an agent a runtime?
So, to understand the shift, you really have to look at the enterprise stack Microsoft rolled out, because it goes way beyond just, adding a chat window to Microsoft Word.
Right, we're past the whole Clippy 2.0 phase.
Way past it. They introduced this four-part architecture. First, there's Project Solara, which is their chip-to-cloud vision.
Okay, so meaning what exactly?
Meaning, the literal physical silicon in your laptop is optimized to talk continuously to Microsoft's cloud
Oh,
agents.
wow, okay.
Yeah. Second, you have Microsoft Scout, which is this always-on work agent that spans Teams, Outlook, OneDrive, and even your local desktop
So it
actions.
sees everything you're doing, basically.
Basically. Third, they have their own in-house reasoning model now, called MAI Thinking One.
Catchy name.
Very corporate.
Right.
Right. And crucially, the fourth piece is Agent 365, which is a governance control plane.
Okay, so they aren't just giving you a smarter chatbot. They are like building the entire house, from the concrete foundation to the roof, including the security cameras.
Yes. And what's fascinating here is the deliberate strategy behind that architecture.
Because they want to rely less on OpenAI.
Exactly. By building this entire stack, Microsoft is fundamentally reducing its dependency on OpenAI, or really any single model provider.
Right, because if you own everything else.
Exactly. If a company owns the identity layer, the hardware device layer, the productivity graph where all the actual work happens, and that governance layer that monitors it all.
They don't actually need the absolute smartest AI model in the world.
Bingo. They just need to own the environment where the agent gets permission to act. Microsoft isn't really selling intelligence anymore. They're selling control over intelligence.
I love that. Think of AI models like an engine, right? The last couple of years, OpenAI, Anthropic, Google, they've all been fighting this brutal war over who can build the fastest, most powerful engine.
Yeah, the horsepower wars.
Exactly. But Microsoft, and as we'll see in a second, Apple too, they aren't fighting over the engine. They are fighting over who gets to build the car you actually sit in.
Right, they want the steering wheel.
The steering wheel, the dashboard, the seats, and most importantly, the seatbelts.
Which brings us perfectly to what Apple did at WWDC, because if Microsoft is building the highly regulated commercial fleet vehicle for the enterprise,
right,
Apple is building the highly trusted luxury personal car.
Yeah. WWDC 2026 was essentially Apple finally settling a two-year-old debt.
Yes, they previewed the Siri AI they promised way back in 2024.
And it's finally here. It's fully conversational. It can actually see and understand what is on your screen, and it is grounded in your personal context.
Right, across your private messages, your photos, your apps.
But wait, I have to push back on this timeline for a second.
Okay, go for it.
Apple is literally one of the most resourced companies in human history.
Undeniable.
And it took them two full years just to catch up to a demo they showed in 2024.
Yep.
And even now, the source document notes it's just reaching developer testing, right? With a public beta later this year.
That's right.
To me, that proves something vital for anyone listening who is trying to build AI tools inside their own company.
Which is?
Internal context, whether it's an individual's personal photos or a corporation's internal emails, Jira tickets, and runbooks, it looks like a beautiful, impenetrable moat.
Right up until you actually try to operationalize it. Yeah, owning the data is a prerequisite, sure, but it is nowhere near sufficient.
It's so messy in reality.
It is. To make an autonomous agent actually useful, that underlying data has to be perfectly permissioned, constantly updated, cleanly formatted, and, you know, instantly retrievable.
Which never happens in a normal company.
Never. Look, if you ask a personal Siri agent to find a photo from your beach vacation and it grabs a picture from a business trip instead, it's mildly annoying.
Right.
But if you connect an autonomous agent to your internal corporate systems and that context is messy or out of date.
Oh, man.
Yeah. A personal agent with bad context is an annoyance. An enterprise agent with bad context becomes a production incident with excellent grammar.
Okay, a production incident with excellent grammar. That phrase from the text is absolutely going to stick with me.
So good, right?
It really is. And it explains the Google partnership. Apple admitted that the next generation of their foundation models was built in collaboration with Google and Gemini.
Yeah, which is a huge deal.
Apple has all the money in the world. And even they realize that the last mile of building agentic products is just so impossibly difficult that they had to partner up for the foundation.
It really solidifies how the battlefield is being divided. Apple wants to dominate the trusted personal context layer.
Right. And Microsoft wants to dominate the governed work context layer.
Exactly. Neither one is competing purely on raw model IQ anymore. They are splitting the addressable market by the context they control.
But, and here is where things get really complicated. If Microsoft and Apple are building these deeply integrated cars, the immediate legal nightmare becomes, who is liable when the car crashes?
Yes. The liability question.
Like, if a human employee deletes a client database, you fire the employee. But if an autonomous agent hallucinates and deletes a client database, you can't exactly sue an algorithm.
No, you definitely cannot. You need identity. And that is where the source text pivots to the problem of delegated authority.
Which sounds dry, but it's actually fascinating.
It really is. This is where the invisible plumbing of enterprise IT becomes the most critical topic in the room.
So let's go back to Microsoft Scout for a second.
Okay. Microsoft explicitly stated that every Scout agent operates under its own governed Entra identity.
Let's define that real quick for anyone who doesn't live in the IT trenches.
Sure.
Entra is Microsoft's identity and access management family, right? It's the system that proves you are who you say you are when you log into your work computer every morning.
Exactly. And historically, that system was built exclusively for humans.
Right.
You log in, the system checks your credentials, and it gives you access to your specific files. But now Microsoft is saying these AI agents get their own distinct identities.
Like giving them a badge.
Yes. Think of it like issuing a corporate credit card and a physical key card to a robot.
Wow. Okay.
You define exactly which rooms the robot can enter, exactly how much money it can spend, and every single action it takes leaves a permanent audit trail for the CFO and the security team.
So the hard part of AI is no longer building the agent.
Not at all. The hard part is giving it a key card without compromising the building.
And right on cue, Anthropic drops Claude Fable 5, which perfectly illustrates how paranoid the industry is becoming about all of this.
Oh, absolutely.
Fable 5 is a Mythos class model, which is their most capable, readily available Claude. But they didn't just release it into the wild.
No, not at all. It shipped with incredibly heavy governance classifiers.
Specifically designed to monitor requests related to things like cybersecurity, biology, chemistry, and model distillation.
Right. And we have to look at the mechanics of how they enforce those safeguards, because it represents a fundamental shift in the industry.
Okay. Lay it out for us.
For the cyber and bio safeguards, the mechanism was totally visible. If you asked Fable 5 how to synthesize a restricted pathogen, it would openly refuse, state the reason, and route you to an older, safer model, which was Opus 4.8.
Which makes sense. That's what you expect.
Right. But the distillation safeguard, that mechanism was entirely different, and it was buried in a 319-page system card.
Okay. We should definitely explain what distillation is, because the way Anthropic handled it was just wild.
It really was. So distillation is basically when a competitor uses the outputs of a brilliant, highly expensive frontier model to train their own cheaper, smaller model.
It's like intellectual property theft via automated conversation.
Yeah. Exactly. It's like a student copying off the smart kid's test.
A perfect analogy. Mm. So how did Anthropic actually stop the copying?
Well, if their system suspected you were using Fable 5 to train your own model, they didn't block your account.
Right.
They didn't show you a warning. They silently poisoned the test answers.
Wait, silently?
Silently. They subtly altered the probabilities in the model's output to degrade the reasoning quality, giving you worse data to permanently flaw your training pipeline.
That is devious.
And they did it with zero notice to the user.
Which, obviously, the backlash to that silent degradation was fierce.
Oh, it was immediate. Within 48 hours, enterprise customers revolted.
Naturally. And Anthropic had to apologize, call it the wrong trade-off, and patch the system so that flag distillation requests now visibly route to Opus 4.8 with a clear warning.
Right. But here's where it gets really interesting.
Oh, yeah. This is my favorite part.
This entire saga highlights the absolute hypocrisy of this new governance era.
Yes, because Anthropic restricted the undegraded full-power version of the model to a trusted group called Project Glasswing Partners.
And Apple is on that list, by the way.
Which makes sense. But Anthropic also mandated a strict 30-day data retention policy for all traffic on these Mythos-class models, so Anthropic themselves could audit what's happening.
Right. And how did Microsoft, the absolute king of enterprise trust, react to that data retention policy?
This is the crazy part. Microsoft's legal and compliance teams took one look at that 30-day data retention requirement and panicked.
Full panic. They actually banned their own employees from using Fable 5.
They completely removed it from the internal picker in GitHub Copilot for their own engineers.
Yes.
But they are simultaneously selling Fable 5 to their enterprise customers through Copilot and Foundry.
Exact.
And for context for you listening, Foundry is Microsoft's cloud platform where enterprise customers can rent and deploy these AI models. Let that sink in.
It's a huge contradiction.
Microsoft is legally terrified of the data retention policies of their own partner's model, so they ban it internally. But they keep selling it to you externally.
Yeah. If the multi-trillion dollar vendors themselves can't navigate the legal and compliance risks of these governed models, how on earth is a regional bank or a logistics company supposed to manage this?
It seems impossible.
It is a massive vulnerability. Capability is no longer just software. It is becoming a governed resource.
Right.
It is being strictly controlled, rationed, and monitored, much like cryptography, export-restricted technologies, or even hazardous materials.
So you don't just swipe a credit card to buy it anymore.
No, you have to legally prove your infrastructure can handle it. In a regulated enterprise, the winning model is not the smartest one. It is the smartest one you can safely explain, monitor, approve, and audit.
Wow. Okay. And there is one more constraint we haven't even touched on yet, which honestly might be the biggest of all.
The money.
The money. We have these highly capable agents acting like employees.
Yeah.
We have strict, complex identity frameworks trying to control them. But underneath all of this abstraction is physical silicon.
Yep. Massive data centers.
Literal rivers of electricity and cooling water.
Yeah.
Somebody has to foot the bill. And according to the source text, the era of the AI subsidy has officially ended.
Yeah, this raises an incredibly important question about the fundamental sustainability of the entire AI ecosystem.
Because in early June, Anthropic and OpenAI both filed confidential S-1s with the SEC. SpaceX is also moving toward public markets, right?
Right. And an S-1 is the formal document a private company files when they are preparing to go public.
It's the moment they actually have to open their financial books to the world.
Exactly. And it is a brutal forcing function. When you are a private company backed by billions in venture capital, you can afford to subsidize the cost of your product.
You can lose money to gain users.
Precisely. You can sell AI inference, which is the computing power required to actually answer a user's prompt for pennies on the dollar. You call it user growth, and you ask your investors to believe that you'll figure out how to make a profit later.
The classic Silicon Valley playbooks.
Right. But a public company has to report quarterly earnings. They have to answer to Wall Street analysts for their gross margins.
That changes everything.
The narrative fundamentally changes when the true cost of every AI miracle has to live in a legally binding public financial filing.
And the cost estimates included in the text are just staggering.
Oh, they are eye-watering.
According to the research firm Sakura, OpenAI's inference costs reach $8.4 billion in 2025.
Just for inference.
Just to answer prompts.
Yeah.
And it's projected to jump to $14.1 billion in 2026.
Yep.
$14.1 billion just to keep the servers running, to answer queries. And all of that is operating on a highly constrained 33% gross margin.
Which is wild.
In the software world, a 33% margin is basically a heart attack. Software margins are supposed to be like 80 or 90%.
Exactly. It proves mathematically that the discount era is over. Frontier intelligence is incredibly expensive to manufacture and serve.
Yeah, just because the chat interface feels lightweight and magical does not mean the compute behind it is cheap.
Not at all. The true cost of AI inference is about to migrate from the AI lab's private income statement directly onto the ledger of every company consuming these models.
So what does this all mean in practice? If you are, say, managing an IT budget right now, or leading an engineering team, how does this actually show up on your desk?
It's going to be a shock for a lot of people.
Are we just talking about a simple price hike for a software license? Or is buying AI going to suddenly feel less like buying a predictable SaaS subscription and more like trading on the volatile energy market?
It will function much closer to an energy market, honestly.
Really?
Yeah, you are not going to get a single neat memo announcing a flat $20 price increase.
Right.
You are going to see fiercely complex tiering.
Oh,
You'll
brother.
see hard capacity limits during peak hours. You'll have to pay massive premiums for advanced reasoning modes. You will see higher enterprise minimums just to get in the door.
So the whole buying process changes.
Totally. Procurement conversations are going to shift from how many seats do we need to how much compute capacity can we secure?
Which means teams that have just been treating AI as an unmetered utility,
Yeah.
you know, like the water tap in the break room where anyone can just leave it running to summarize long email threads,
Oh, yeah.
they are about to get a very educational
A
invoice.
very painful one. And it requires a total shift in how we measure value.
Right.
Up until now, people have been measuring tokens. Think of a token as roughly a syllable or a fraction of a word that the AI processes. Companies track how many millions of tokens they burn through.
But tokens don't equal value.
Exactly. Tokens are a metric of consumption, not a business outcome. Verified work is a business outcome.
That makes total sense.
The leaders who survive this financial transition are the ones who can answer the hard questions. What manual human work actually disappeared? What specific compliance risk did we demonstrably reduce?
Basically proving the ROI.
Yes. Which workflows actually deserve the $14 billion frontier model, and which workflows should just use a smaller, cheaper, boring model that does the job perfectly well?
Right. Okay. We have covered an incredible amount of ground today, navigating through this pivotal 2 weeks in tech history. Let's distill this down.
Good idea.
If you are listening to this right now and you have to walk into a strategy meeting with your leadership team tomorrow, there are four foundational realities you have to bring with you.
Let's run through them.
Starting with the interface, we are no longer building chatbots. Agents are autonomous actors. Microsoft and Apple are rebuilding their operating systems from the silicon up to host these actors.
Which means your internal platforms need to be designed to manage autonomous software acting on its own, not just humans clicking buttons.
Exactly. And that leads directly to the second identity.
Right. Every single agent needs delegated authority. It needs its own specific Entra identity, a strict scope of what it can access, and a clear approval path.
So if your company is still relying on shared service accounts that haven't been audited since like 2019.
You are holding a ticking time bomb. In the agent era, a shared service account is a liability with an autocomplete button.
Terrifying but true. Third is economics. The era of heavily subsidized venture-backed AI is ending as these labs face the public markets.
Yep. They need margin discipline, which means they are going to pass the true cost of compute on to you.
So you must shift your tracking from token usage to value per verified outcome. If you can't connect your AI spend to actual shift verified work, you are just bleeding cash into a server farm.
Absolutely. And finally, governance. Anthropic's release of Fable 5, with its tiered, heavily restricted access and those silent safeguards, is the blueprint for the next 5 years.
Right. The future of AI is mandatory data retention, visible fallback models, and access that is completely dependent on your corporate trust level.
Yeah. If your company already runs secure, auditable workflows, you'll get the key card to the frontier models. If you don't, you will be permanently stuck relying on a downgraded fallback model.
So the constraints have completely flipped. It's not about what the model is capable of doing anymore. It's about whether your organization has the maturity to govern it, meter it, and verify it safely.
Exactly. Which leaves us with one final kind of lingering question to consider as these technologies mature.
Ooh, what is it?
If the raw cost of AI compute is going to force enterprises to obsess over legible, verified outcomes, and if the absolute smartest models are locked behind heavy governance, strict data retention, and massive price tags, what happens to these multi-billion dollar frontier AI labs? What happens to their astronomical valuations when the enterprise market suddenly realizes that a smaller, open source, boring model does 90% of the job perfectly well for a fraction of the cost and none of the governance headache?
Wow, that really is the multi-billion dollar question. I mean,
Yeah.
the magic show is over, the house lights are on. It is time to take a very hard look at the unmetered utilities running in the corners of your own business before the invoice arrives. Thanks for taking this deep dive with us. We'll catch you on the next one.